Thank you, Erica, for facilitating. I think we're all juggling tonight. I just got a call from my wife saying, well, you know, you're going to have to take Micah with you to practice tonight, too, when you take Zion. So I was prepared to take one son to practice who's pretty quiet. I'm taking two sons. We're leaving in 30 minutes. So you're going to hear some cars starting and some driving. And so I think we're all balancing tonight. So please forgive me if you do hear that stuff in the background. But nonetheless, I'm just excited to be here. Tonight, I want to share really from my heart. So just a brief introduction. My name is David A. Burris. I am a resident of Southern California. I live in Long Beach, California, to be exact. I am from the Bay Area. So I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm from a small town called Richmond. Born and raised in Richmond. Spent some time in Texas, or San Diego, rather, pastoring for 3 years, and then Texas pastoring for another 3 years. And then we've just recently relocated back to Southern California, where my wife is from, to Long Beach. And it's just been a joy to be back home. We have been married, my wife and I, for 12 years. We met when we were 18. I'm now 40. I won't give her age, but we met when we were, I guess I could just gave it away. I said we met when we were 18. So we met when we were 18. We're 40. We've been married 12 years, have two sons, both Micah and Zion, 8 and 11. And so now I'm no longer really pastoring in a church, but I'm more just pastoring people, leading people. But one of my favorite, I believe what I'm called to do is really equip singles and couples in the area of solid Christian kingdom relationships. And so that's what I'm doing. I'll be sharing with you from a book that I've written that comes out on the 25th, entitled The Blueprint, Lessons from the Garden of Eden. And in this book, I just take a look at the story of Adam and Eve, and I'm just really, seven chapters, really quick and easy book to read, but I'm extracting some principles, and it's just loaded with rich relationship nuggets. And tonight, I'm going to share with you dealing with this whole topic of being healed without scars. And if you have been following me anytime, you've probably heard me teach about this. It's not that I don't have anything else to teach, but this is something that is heavy on my heart, and he's just having me share this message and this topic wherever I go. It's always different when I share it, but I want to talk tonight, share with you tonight about being healed without scars. I'll share for a few moments, and then we'll unmute the lines to take questions if you have any. But I want to share this story with you. A few years ago, probably late 90s, I lived here in Long Beach before for a brief moment. And at the time, I didn't have any money, didn't have a job. I was going to school, getting some financial aid, and so I was, you know, just making it, barely making it. And I decided that I'm going to move back home to the Bay Area. And for those of you who aren't familiar with that drive, that's a six-hour drive from about 6 hours from Southern California to Northern California. So I decided I'm going to buy a car. I didn't even have a car. I said, I'm going to buy a car this weekend, and I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to load up as much stuff as I possibly can, and I'm going to move back to the Bay Area. So I got all my little money together. I saw this beautiful, beautiful BMW. And because I don't know anything about cars, I just bought it, just purchased it. Didn't know anything about cars. I lifted up the hood like I knew what I was doing, but in all actuality, I didn't know anything about what was going on under the hood. But the car was beautiful. So I bought the car, gave him the money, went to my apartment, got my stuff, put it in the car, went to the gas station because I got to fill up to go home, pulled into the gas station. Filled up the car, got in the car, turned the key. The car would not start. Car wouldn't start. I tried it again. Car wouldn't start. I lifted up the hood as if I knew what I was looking for, and I couldn't find the problem. I turned the key again, and the car would not start. So I had to make a decision in that moment whether or not I was going to stick around and focus on this car, fix the car, if I was going to move forward. So, guys, I made a decision. I'm going to leave this car right here at this gas pump, and I'm going to find the Greyhound station, and I'm getting on this Greyhound, and I'm going home, because I was determined to get out of there. But that's not the moral of the story. What I really want you to hear from me sharing that story with you was the whole fact, the whole idea, this whole concept of I bought this car not based on how well it ran, not based on how many miles this car had been driven. I bought the car not based on when the last oil change was. I bought this car, I didn't buy it based on how well it had been serviced. I didn't even buy the car based on how integral I thought the seller was. I bought this car based on how good I looked in it. I bought the car based on how it shined and how good it smelled on the inside. I bought the car based on it being a BMW and me realizing that those are pretty good cars. Not necessarily run good, but they look good. So I bought this car for all the wrong reasons. I could have gotten a more reliable car. I'm certain I could have gotten a Honda or could have gotten an Acura, maybe even a Toyota, but I chose this car for the status. Now, the problem with that is the same problem that many of us have made in our relationships. And that problem is that we assume because we look good on the outside, and we assume because we smell good, and we assume because we look like it have we have it all together, that we are equipped and prepared to go the distance in a relationship, which is not necessarily the case. What's even worse is that we assume because someone else is shiny, and because someone else is well-dressed, and because someone else looks good, and because they smell good, we assume that they are healthy enough to handle us and healthy enough to go the distance in a relationship. Now, what we have to be careful about is even nowadays, you can't even judge someone's physical health based on how they look. You don't know what's going on with them physically, let alone their mental health. I was on the phone with a young lady today who is someone very close to me, very dear to me, who is just coming out of, she's just months into being divorced. She's divorced, months into being divorced. And she's divorced because she found out her husband was having adulterous affairs. She found out her husband was having adulterous affairs. But more importantly, she found out her husband was having multiple adulterous affairs with men. So that poses a problem because she thought she was getting one thing, but she was actually getting something else. And because we're often defective, we don't really realize what we're getting until we've got it. Because in many cases, I say this all the time, and I'll say it tonight. Perhaps you've heard me say it before, but you attract who you are. You attract who you are. In fact, if you're taking notes, I want you to write that down. And if you're single, especially, take note of what I just said, because it's critical for you to understand that the people that you are attracting are a direct result of the condition of your heart. Another way to put it is you attract who your heart can handle, right? Now, if I were to look at this particular person that I'm talking about, if you just look at the track record of relationships that she's been in, it's always been people who were defective. Not only that, it's always been people who she's had to nurse back to health. It's always been strays who needed extra special attention because they had some type of something going on with them mentally, emotionally, even some of them physically. And I want to ask you a question as you're listening to this, not just in your relationships, your romantic relationships, but in relationships in general. are you attracting the same type of people? Are these people unhealthy? And here's the tough question. How much of that are you taking responsibility for? Perhaps even going from relationship to relationship, bouncing from one person to another. That's a very slippery slope, because if we don't take care of who we are, then it's going to be very difficult for us to handle someone else. Not only that, it's going to be very difficult for us to connect with people who are healthy enough for us to walk with. Again, if you've been listening to me or following me for any time, there's a particular incident in the Bible that you've heard me discuss, and I want to discuss it tonight because it's important. All right. I was looking at Genesis and looking at this whole creation process. And I'm looking at how God presented this woman to this man. And one of the things that we notice is that it was never Adam's idea. It was always God's idea. It was never Eve's idea. It was always God's idea. Now, that's important because what I'm getting to next, it'll make sense why I'm saying this, but why that is so important and so critical is because, listen to me, neither one of them was pressing the issue. Neither of them was pressing the issue. In other words, neither Adam nor Eve was rushing to be with anyone because neither of them desired marriage. In fact, both of them, before they met each other, were whole and in the presence of God. In fact, if we look at Adam, before Eve showed up on the scene, there were a few things Adam had. Number one, he had the image of God. He had the likeness of God. He had the characteristics of God. But not only that, Adam had a job. His job was to work the garden. Not only that, Adam understood his purpose. So I just gave a hint there. There were some key characteristics that Adam displayed even before he can get a woman. Now, here's the thing. I believe that God was able to present Eve to Adam because Adam was where he was supposed to be as it related to his destiny and purpose. So for my single folks who are listening to this, especially my single ladies, I want you to really, really allow God to lead you to the one and allow God to position you to be seen by the one who understands his purpose, understands his destiny, understands who he is in Christ. So there's something very peculiar that happens in this whole creative process that leads me to this point, and I want to unpack it for you because I think it'll bless you. I'll spend about 10 to 15 more minutes talking about this, and then we can open the lines for questions. And these questions don't have to do with anything I talked about. We can just talk about anything that you desire to discuss, all right? In the Word of God in Genesis, God made man in his image and after his likeness, and he put this man in the garden, and this man was working his purpose. He was working his destiny. He was working for God. He was getting things together. He was doing what he was called and required to do by God. Then something key happens. The Bible says, God said, it's not good for this guy to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper who is suitable for him. I'm going to make him a helper who can meet his needs emotionally, spiritually, physically, who can communicate with him on his level. Because remember, God was above Adam, and the animals were beneath him. So there was no one who could communicate with him on his level. Adam had to talk up to talk to God, and he had to talk down to speak to the animals. There was nobody on his level emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. And God is saying, now I want to send someone who can help him emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually. So he sent this woman. But before he did that, he did something very peculiar. And I want you to notice it. Go look at it in Genesis chapter 2, I believe it is. It says that he put Adam to sleep, put him to sleep. And then after he put the man to sleep, the Bible says he opened up his side and pulled out a rib. And then here's where it gets very interesting. The text then says, and then he closed up the flesh thereof. Perhaps you've heard me teach on this, and if you have, please pardon me for revisiting it, but there are some people who need to hear it, and they're hearing it for the first time, and I think we can all benefit from hearing this again. The Bible says that he closed up the flesh thereof. Now, here's what's key. Here's what's important. Here's what's vital for us to understand about this whole piece. Before he formed Eve, he healed Adam. I'll say that again. Before he formed, so he took out the rib, but he didn't form her. He didn't even put her flesh on her body. He didn't even put breath in her body. He didn't even put her hair on her. He didn't put her face on her. She was just a rib. He formed her after he closed up the flesh thereof. In other words, he formed her after he healed him, after he made him whole. Now, this is very important, and here's where many of us have missed it. I've missed it. Some of you have missed it. It's not that she was not called and or ordained to be his wife. It's not that she wasn't purposed to be his wife. It's not that she wasn't set aside and set apart to be his wife. All of those things were true. All of those things were reality. But the problem was, I'm sorry, the problem that many of us have made, that they didn't make in this time because God was in control, was a timing issue. And sometimes we're missing the mark because we're rushing the timing of God. And so sometimes it's not that they're not for you. It's not that they're not called and ordained to be your spouse. But ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the problem is either they're not healed or we're not. And if they're not healed and or if I'm not healed, then now I become, or they become, a liability in the relationship instead of an asset. And many of you have been dealing with liability after liability, and you're still waiting on God to send you an asset. And there are even some people who are listening who marry the liability and waiting for them to become an asset. And there are some who don't identify whether they are with a liability or an asset because in many cases, you're the liability. And then there are some times when we're both a liability and now we have to be patient with each other to allow God to process us through this whole relationship growing and developing together, but we both come with scars from the past, and now I'm attempting to love you and view you through the filter of what happened to me the last time. So the question then I have to ask you is, how many times, either presently or can you think of in the past, where you've tried to love them through the filter of your last relationship, or love them through the filter of your present pain? That poses a major problem because, number one, you don't give them permission to make mistakes because nobody's going to be perfect. But number two, you don't give yourself permission to be healed before you put your heart in another condition to be a potential crash test dummy. I'm not trying to be offensive, but what I'm trying to get you to see, the same thing I had to see, was that in many cases I've rushed into something because, now here's the thing, I can't speak for you, but I've rushed into it because I thought that they would heal me. I rushed into it because I thought getting with them would make it all better. But in all actuality, it made it all worse for everybody because now I am a liability and now I'm an infection in the relationship. But I told you before that you attract who you are. And so since that's the case, I began to draw people who were infected emotionally and spiritually themselves. And so now we're cross-pollinating our infections because we didn't allow God to heal us. So the question I have for you is, are you healed? Even if you're married, have you allowed God time and space to move into those intimate places and parts of your life so that you're no longer a liability in the relationship? I got to be honest with you guys. It's a process. It's something that I'm dealing with all the time. It's something that it takes courage to do. But if you're wondering why you just fly off at the handle when they say the slightest thing and then you have to go back and apologize, it's not really them. There's, in many cases, guys, there's something going on in my heart. There's some brokenness. There's some unsettling in my heart. There's some scars. I said this last week, and I want to say it again to you, that many of us are leaking love because we can't hold love because we have cracks that have not been healed and made whole in our hearts. So where are you? I just want you to take 30 seconds to think about that. If I'm not talking to you, I thank you for hanging out this long. But I have a sneaky suspicion that I'm talking to some folks on the phone who still have some cracks that you haven't allowed God access to. You still have some places in your heart where you haven't allowed God to process you. In John chapter 1, I think it's around verse 24, 25, 26, 27, they're asking John some questions. And they said, well, who are you, John? Are you Elias? He said, no, I'm not Elias. They said, well, are you the prophet? He said, no, I'm not the prophet. And they said, well, who are you? He said, I am the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of him. Now, John, they asked him who he was, and he responded by telling them what he does, right? They asked him, who are you? And he said, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. So he gave them a title instead of his identity. So you're probably wondering, well, Dave, what does that have to do with me? Well, that has a lot to do with me. I know it has everything to do with me because in many cases, guys, what I've done is I have spent the majority of my time building up my title and not enough time building up my identity. And so I've mastered being a pastor and a preacher and a teacher and an author and a brand manager. And I've mastered being a coach and I've mastered being a consultant. And I've mastered all of this stuff, but I haven't spent, me personally, I can't speak for you, but I haven't spent enough time allowing God to build me up as a man, as a person, as a healed man, as a whole man. And so sometimes I just like to give my title and people think I'm a certain way, but in reality, I'm broken in some areas of my life. Now, I'm speaking about me. I can't speak for you, but I have a suspicion that there's some people on who are listening to this tonight that can identify, you know what, Dave, I do have some areas in my life where I'd rather put my title before my trial. Or I'd rather put what I do before who I am, because if I let people see who I really am, they probably wouldn't stick around long enough. So tonight I want to give you three things I just really want you to focus on. We're going to allow God to process our hearts, and then we can open the lines for questions if we have any. Number one, how do we allow God to open to heal us and to process us? The first thing, and these are going to be three things that, guys, you know these things. I mean, you've heard them time and time again. I'm not telling you anything new, but I've got to get them to you. Number one, I've got to be prayerful. I've got to spend time with the man who heals. I've got to spend time with the man who delivers. I've got to spend time with the man who sets free. I've got to spend time with the man who will bring me out. I've got to spend time with the man who can heal me from the inside out. I've got to do that. I've got to do it. So I've got to be prayerful, because it's not going to be by power, neither is it going to be by might. But man, if I'm going to get delivered and set free, if God's going to heal the hole that's in my heart, then I've got to give him permission to do it. Well, how do I give God permission to heal, to set free, to deliver? Well, I've got to be prayerful. Because it's in the same Genesis where God said, let them have dominion. He's talking about man and woman. Let them have dominion over the earth, you and I. So when he said that, what he's really saying is, now these people are going to be in charge in the earth. So if I'm going to move, I've got to get their permission. Well, how do we give God permission? We do it through prayer. We invite his kingdom to come, his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. So number one, I've got to pray and ask God, invite him into my situation to heal me. Number two, I've got to get in his word. I got to get in his word, because remember, we're dealing with some emotional stuff, which means I've got to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Does that make sense? I've got to be transformed. I've got to be transfigured by the renewing of my mind. So if that's going to happen, I've got to allow God space to deal with me emotionally. I'm going to be transformed. Well, that happens through the word. I've got to wash myself in the word of God. And then the third piece, and then we'll open it up for questions. The third piece is I've got to have some accountability. I need some people around me who can talk me off the wall. I need some people around me who can help me get to another level. I need some people around me who can talk me through some stuff. I need some people around me who I can call and say, hey, I'm going through it. Can you help me out? So how are we going to get healed? How are we going to get set free? How is God going to move on our hearts? How are we going to get these holes fixed in our hearts? Well, we're going to be prayerful, number one. Number two, we're going to meditate the word. Don't just read the word. I want us to begin to meditate the word. That word meditate means to read it and repeat it over and over again. Read it out loud and repeat it over and over again until you get it. And then number three, I need some accountability. I need some folks who won't judge me, some folks who can see me struggling and not give me a hard time, some folks who can watch me go through it and not be grieved by what they see, because what they're going to see is not always going to be cute. So I need some accountability. I need some folks who I've given permission to get into my business. Come on, let's talk about that again. And you guys going to hear my sons in the background. Please forgive me for the noise. We're on our way to soccer practice. So the first piece is prayer. Second piece, meditating the word. And the third piece, accountability. As we're talking, I believe there's some of you who are listening who can say, you know, Dave, I do have some stuff I need to let God deal with, which is probably why I keep ending up in some of the same relational situations that I've been in. And some of you, it's not new relationships that are struggling. Some of you, it is you're in long-term relationships, even marriage, but you keep coming up against the same wall emotionally, that when they say a certain thing, you just flip out, right? Well, we got to look at that. What's causing me to do that? And sometimes it's because I haven't been made whole, right? I haven't allowed God to heal me. Guys, let's open up the lines. If you have any questions, I believe it's star six. And then if you have any comments, I believe it's star six. And you may be muted on the other end of your line. So if you have anything you want to say, any questions you want to ask, let's talk about it. And they don't necessarily have to be anything about what we discussed tonight. It can be any relational question. I want to help you with that if you have any. Are there any questions?
Hey, real quick, while everyone is formulating their questions, can you guys hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay. My kids, well, they work right, I was going to take this opportunity just so everyone still has their pen and paper in hand to give you.
Hey, Erica.
Erica, a little
Erica, we can't hear you anymore.
Uh-oh. Okay. Still no?
That's better, but it was muffled.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be quiet for a minute. Any questions?
No. You're good now. What do you have?
I was just going to give everyone your information just in case, you know, we run up to the hour and we don't have time for that, or my kids are screaming at that time. You can
muffled again.
Gonna be quiet. Y'all just go and work it out. I'm gonna be quiet.
Okay.
I'm gonna text.
Well, look, here's what we'll do. Okay, here's what we'll do, guys. If you want to reach me, first of all, I have a book coming out dealing with a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about tonight. You can get that at www.davidaburrus.com/theblueprint. davidaburrus.com/theblueprint. You can also find me on all social media platforms under David A. Burrus. That's B-U-R-R-U-S. And on Facebook, it's David A. Burrus Official. David A. Burrus Official. Instagram, Periscope, Twitter, it's David A. Burrus. So I would love to connect with you guys just further and to even further this conversation if you'd like to. Does anyone have any questions?
Hi, David. It's Saida Simone.
Hey, sister. Saida.
Yep. Got it. I just want to say thank you, Shremiah. Sorry, I'm driving to church. But I just wanted to say thank you. This was a confirmation earlier today on Periscope, and then this tonight. Eric and I have been talking about that because with being separated and divorced over 2 years, and just starting to position myself differently, not being afraid to be approached to court. And so you brought up some things that made a lot of sense on why I look like a deer in the headlights, and sometimes I'm like, oh, no, you're talking to me? You're trying to talk to me? You know, because it's still some things that I'm dealing with in myself because of fear in a relationship. So I can't wait to get my book. Woo! But
let me ask you this. What is the fear piece? Because, I mean, I think you're probably not the only person who deals with
okay.
What
is, no problem. What does that mean? Abandonment.
Abandonment. Fear of being abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, because being the being raised without my father and then, you know, broken, you know, in a marriage, like you said, what you attract and, you know, I'm woman enough to admit it, brokenness and brokenness don't make whole. So I know I have to work on some things within myself that, because I have more of a caretaking, I guess, personality. So I tend to gravitate towards people that either need help or I feel like they feed my need for my help in a relationship. And so that's something that I've been journaling and I've taken to God and just asked him for knowledge and revelation and just showing me, and he's showing me that in all aspects of relationships, you know, so I'm grateful for that, even within my family and how to communicate better with them. So I am very grateful, you know, just for the Holy Spirit moving and answering my questions through you and,
Amen.
You know, other things.
Well, listen, guys, I want you, Saida, I want you to hear this, and I want anyone else who's listening to this who deals with fear, not just in relationship, but just in general. So if we even look at how this whole fear piece came about, it stems back to Genesis. When after Adam and Eve sinned, they hid themselves from the Lord, and the Lord came looking for them. And this was the introduction of fear. The Lord came looking for them, and he said, Adam, where are you? Now, he wasn't asking Adam if he knew where he was because he was lost. God knew where Adam was all the time. He was asking Adam, do you know where you are in relation to me? Do you know where you are in relation to who I am in your life? And Adam said, I hid myself because I was afraid. And Adam's fear was that God would turn his back on him. That's what Adam's fear was. So when you're afraid to get on an airplane, when you're afraid to start a new career, when you're afraid to move forward in a relationship, whatever the fear is, it's really rooted, if you think about it, it's rooted in, I'm going to get in this position and God won't be there for me, and it could be a detriment to my life.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, and that is the case, then we have to do what Proverbs says. He says, trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Right? So I can't even trust my own heart. Then he said, lean not to your own understanding. In other words, don't rely on what you know. He said, in all thy ways, acknowledge me, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So the way that I cure the fear of moving forward is I stop trusting myself and I put my trust in the Lord, because it says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What shepherds would do back in the day, and then we're going to move forward and take another question, but what sheep hate fast water. They just hate it. They can't stand rapid water. So what a shepherd would do is a shepherd would, where there's rapid water, the shepherd would take rocks and put them within the water and create a small drinking dam for the sheep. So a shepherd would make running water still by putting rocks in the water to create a small drinking hole for the sheep. And God is saying, when you are afraid, I will put rocks in the water. I'll create somewhere that is still and quiet and peaceful for you. So even when everything else is chaotic, when everybody else around you is getting divorced, when everybody else around you is going through marital stuff, God says, I don't want you to think that's going to have to be you. I'll make peace. I'll create peace. But you got to follow me. Amen. Does anybody else have any questions? I did get a question via text. It says, does your accountability group or partner need to be on your level, i.e. married, single, or divorced? That's a great question. So if we were to minimize this question and ask it this way, does your accountability need to be married? I don't think your accountability partner has to be married. Some of my accountability partners, I'm married, but some of my accountability partners are not married because I go to them for, they specialize in different things, right? There are some guys who I go to who are single, but they specialize in faith. Like they just help me get my faith up. There are other guys who are widowed. I have one of my best friends, he's a widower. His wife passed away 1 year ago, so he has almost 30 years of marriage underneath his belt. While he's single, he still has a great deal of wisdom. So I go to him for insight on marriage. And then there's some other folks who I go to for insight on finances, right? So whatever area that you want to be held accountable in, I would advise you to find someone who specializes in that, but they don't necessarily have to be any particular thing to get counsel from them. It sounds, I think I just confused myself, so I hope you understand what I was trying to say. Does anyone else have any questions?
Yes, Brother David.
Hey.
My question is, how would a person gauge the healthiness of a relationship or of a marriage, say on a scale from 1 to 10, using, say hypothetically, using yourself and your wife as an example, how would you gauge the healthiness of a marriage?
That's a great question, man. There are several tools that you can use to gauge the healthiness of a marriage. Here are a couple that I use, my wife and I use. So So one of the things is the Word of God tells us to husbands, I want you to dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Live with them according to knowledge. In other words, live with them according to what you know. Right? That could go both ways. So in order for me to live with them according to what I know, I have to become a student of who they are. Right? I have to. That means I have to be intentional about paying attention to who my wife is and who I am. Well, if I pay attention to who they are, if I become a student of who they are, I will begin to identify holes in their armor. And they will, my wife can identify holes in my, she knows everything that's wrong with me for the most part. And I can tell you what's wrong with her. Now, that can be dangerous because in the long run, if we're not for each other, that could become a tool that we use against each other. It become a weapon because I know everything about you. But that happens because I've studied her and she studied me. So that's one tool. The other piece is heavy, heavy, heavy communication, like heavy talking. Even when it's uncomfortable, talking exposes, right? Just talking and being very transparent. That's number two. But the third piece that I always advise, and especially for single people who are not married yet, is establishing healthy core values. Establishing healthy core values. And this is critical. This is important. This is primarily for people who are not single because core values, for example, if your core value is integrity, if it's character, if it is worship, if it's faith, if it's communication, if it's excellence, these are things that you're saying, I stand by and I stand for. So when I've established core values and I'm presented with someone who does not line up to my core values, that will expose something in them that I'm not going to be able to handle or that I'll have to deal with and maybe put forth more effort than I'm willing to do. I hope that makes sense. So so we can gauge it by conversation. We can gauge it by being students of our spouses. And then we can gauge it by looking at our core values and saying, okay, now that I put these in place, for example, if a core value is I will not have sex before marriage, and then that's something I stand for. When I meet someone, I can filter that relationship through my core values, and I can gauge how healthy they are emotionally just based on my core values. So my core values can serve as a filter for who's trying to present themselves to me. Right. If I say faith is key for me and then I establish that as a core value and I put these and I make those readily available, then if someone comes to me who's an atheist, there's now we're being exposed. Right. Because I've allowed this relationship to be filtered through my core values. So those are three things that you can use. And there's several more ways that you can just gauge healthiness or not. A lot of it is. And the other piece is really just cracking that word open, for especially for the believer, cracking that word open and allowing God to expose who you are. Let me give you an example of this. Go ahead, Z. Go ahead, Bubba. Z, go ahead, man. One of the things that I'm looking at is, let me give you a prime example. There's a decision that I made in my marriage right just over the last 3 weeks as a man that my wife didn't have to tell me there was a kink in my armor. She didn't have to tell me that. She didn't have to tell me I was missing the mark. She didn't have to tell me that. Because what I did, man, I just cracked the word open and I began to ask God, now God, show me who I am and what I'm supposed to be as a healthy man in a marriage. And listen, when I did that, he began to expose some things in me that I was not doing. And so I've had to, so just based on what he showed me, man, I've made some major changes and decisions in my life because he's revealed those things to me. All right. So, you can start there. You can start there. And then the last piece of that, I know I'm talking a lot, guys, and we're going to close, but the last piece of that is I often ask my spouse, my wife, for a progress report. She hates it. It gets on her nerves sometimes. But I ask her, how am I doing as a husband? Right? What areas can I improve in as a husband?
I ask – she never asked me that. I don't think she wants to know. She does, but – and that's not for everybody. But for me, I really want to know, how can I improve? What would make me better as a husband? And so that's another way for her to say, you know what, I really would appreciate if you would spend more time, maybe turn your laptop off after 7 o'clock and just hang out with me. Well, then now I can take that information back and say, okay, now why do I want to be on this laptop until 9, 10, 11, 12, and even sometimes 1 in the morning? Okay, God, show me why I do that. What am I running from anything? What's going on with me? So now I can begin to gauge and filter my own emotional and spiritual health based on conversations that I'm having with my wife. All right, I hope that was helpful. Does anyone have any questions? Any other questions before we close?
Yes, hello. You mentioned being infected. How do you identify what your infection is, or what your disease is, or what your impairment is, especially if you have more than one?
That's a great question. Three things. So on a very practical level, paying attention to, let's look at it from a physical perspective, right? So if every day I walk, right, if I walk 3 miles per hour every day, and then whenever I speed up to 5, my right leg starts hurting, right? It's really just a matter of me paying attention to, okay, when the hurt happens, what's going on, right? Let's say that hurt is real. See, we think hurt and pain is a bad thing, but hurt and pain, even in your body, is your body's way of telling you something is going on here, and you could possibly die if you don't deal with this. So when your sickness speaks up, you've got to now, before you do anything else, be intentional about saying, okay, what is happening here that's causing my sickness to arise? Even when your eyes puff up and flare up, or even when you start scratching, your skin gets real itchy, you ask yourself, was it something that I ate today that's causing me to be irritated? So when your sickness arises, your emotional sickness arises, you've got to look at, okay, what is it that's causing me to be so angered or so upset or so agitated right now? And then you may say, it's the way he's talking to me right now. So let's dig a little deeper. Well, why does that irritate you so much? Well, he's not being mean, but I just remember my father used to yell at my mother and call her out of her name. And when he does it, it just kind of takes me back to that moment. All right. So we have to now there's some things in my past I need to be healed from, primarily my relationship with my father. So really just spending time intentionally looking at the sickness and the disease and allowing yourself to articulate, what is it about this moment that's causing me to feel so angry or so fearful or so frustrated or feel so yucky inside? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if you do that, now the thing with that is, if you're going to do that, you've got to be prepared. Don't do that if you're not prepared to go the distance with a diagnosis. All right? So, because it's going to open up some things. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be prepared to say, okay, if this thing is opened up, I've got to be willing to go to the source and find out, okay, am I willing to deal with this deep, deep thing or this deep-rooted issue? Because in many cases, it's not anything surface, it's something deep. Mm-hmm. Guys, it's 7 o'clock my time. We're out of time. Erica?
Yes, I'm here. Hopefully you guys can hear me.
We can hear you loud and clear.
Good, good, good. Thank you so, so, so much. I understand the balance for sure. So I appreciate you taking time out to share with us. Definitely got and lots of good food this evening. So, again, just to repeat the information that David said earlier, he can be found on Facebook at David A. Burris Official and all social media at David A. Burris. So, again, just appreciate you, man of God, for sharing. Hopefully we'll get to hear you again. Don't forget to go onto his website, purchase, pre-order the book. I'm sure it will be a
blessing. Amen.
All right. And for any of you who are not connected with Declare Victory, we do have a morning prayer call every morning, same access code at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you can and you're able, call in. Come and join us. Thank you, guys. I hope everyone has a blessed evening.
You as well. Take care.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.